This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScoop, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScoop.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. This is podcast number 38. My name is Peter Higgins. You can find me at Conkers3 on Twitter. And I'm here with my good colleague at Weedy Dealer on Twitter. My good friend Pete is sitting in his front room on his sofa. And how are you today, Pete?
Yeah, mate, well, I've been better. followers of me on Twitter and stuff will know that. And if you heard me on the Mellow thing the other night, I did on Monday night. I've had a load of ongoing health issues, and the one that started this off was I got a bladder infection. Now that is pretty much under control, and I've nearly finished the antibiotics, so that's all good. The flipping complication is that on Saturday night, really late in the morning, like 2 a.m. or something, I'm transferring out of my wheelchair onto my bed, and I've only gone and caught my hip, my left hip, on the side of my wheelchair and cut my hip. So it's like having a pressure sore, but sort of worse because it's broken the skin. I haven't looked at it for about 3 days or so because I was just leaving the dressings and things on it. I looked at it today. It is better. It's making progress. You know, I'm sort of pleased really where it is, but I think it's still some way off. So I think I'm going to be on the sofa and sort of functioning at, you know, half speed. I'm hoping I'll be ready for Christmas, you know, to get and do what I wanted to do for Christmas. But you know, I'm struggling to write blogs and things. It's just too difficult. And to be honest, I'm quite enjoying having a break from the blogs after writing for 7 years and stuff. So if readers and that can just bear with me, and I'll be back firing big time in 2021, which isn't far away.
Yeah, I mean, we've spoken about this, Pete. We've spoken quite a few times over the past couple of weeks about your health thing. And, you know, I've said this to you over and over again, mate. You have been absolutely prolific regarding your blogs and your output and your content that you've shared freely with everybody. So, you know, that's why you're so loved, mate. And, you know, and the beauty of it is that you've been doing this with an objective of just enabling other people to learn and yourself to learn as well. And you've been doing it without any agenda, you know what I mean? So, you know,
that's
absolutely, you're keeping yourself busy. But that just chimes with something I wanted to say, in a sense of, you know, the beauty of the community that we've got and the way that we go about our life, Pete, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is a poem that I saw a couple of days ago, and it almost made me weep. So please just bear with me, folks.
Is it Pam Ayres, mate? I love the one. I love the one with its nose all green and runny. I love that one.
Yeah. Well, I just want to share this with you because, as you all will know now, that I'm big on my mindfulness. I'm big on my kindness. I'm big on the fact of paying it forward to other people. But this poem is quite poignant, and it reads like this: Life is short. Don't take one day for granted. Everything can change in a moment. Be grateful for all you have and all that you are. Remember who is most important to you and always cherish them. Life is a gift and we are blessed. There you go, folks.
Man, that's deep. I'm like, do you know, that's really mellowed me out, because as you were doing it, I was so thinking about the words and thinking, my God, it's so true, you know?
It is, Pete. We've got followers all around the world, and everybody knows somebody who's going through a difficult time. We're now in December. It's December the 16th. It's 6:05 in the UK. Wherever you are in the world listening to this, when we put it out, just remember there's other people around you that are going through some deep, deep, deep difficult times. And just do what you can to pay it forward and do what you can for other people around you. And think about what you're saying and doing, because other people are going through stuff that you may not even be aware of. So just go through life as best you can, regardless of Christmas, I'm on about every single day, with kindness. Yeah, I know this is a podcast about investing and making money and all the rest of it, but Pete and I are about kindness. You are about kindness. So do as much as you can for yourself to be kind to other people, and think about how your behavior impacts other people as well. Yeah, because
well, I think it's very easy for us as sort of investors this year. I mean, I talked about this before. I just think in so many ways we've been so lucky in that, you know, we got our backsides handed to us on a plate back in March. You know, as a long-term investor, it was a painful time back in March. And then for the markets and that to have rallied like they have, so that, you know, lots of us are making a bit of profit on the year. Lots of us are sort of at break even or nearly back to break even. When you think of the damage we had in March, I just think it's incredible. And it's like, you know, there's people out there suffering real financial hardship. And here we all are, you know, our lovely luxury lives. Our biggest problem is you know, I've got some tweets to send. You know what I mean? It's you know, we need to get things in perspective. And on that subject, I don't know how you feel, Pete, but my sort of sense is that I just can't wait to get 2020 over with in terms of my portfolio. And just, I talked about this on Twitter the other day, and I just get a sense, I just want to close everything off. I just want to, you know, on my main ISA, yeah, with the WD-40, I just want to shut that down, hopefully come away with a nice gain for the year, set it back to zero for 2021, off we go. On my income portfolio, I think I'll probably end up making a bit of a loss on it. I don't know, maybe down about 5% or something. But I just so fed up with 2020, I just want to close it off, get it all back to zero, so we start the year afresh, and let's crack on with 2020. How do you feel about it?
Well, Pete, my main focus throughout, well, since February, really, has been about going to see my dad, my mum and dad, mate. I want to get this year over and done with. I've not seen my mum and dad since December the 30th, yeah, because they've been shielding since this lockdown started.
You so haven't seen them the whole time?
I haven't seen them that whole time because they've been shielding, mate, yeah? They're in the 70s, they're in reasonable health, but my dad's got a few ailments, so I've not seen him. So we've been doing FaceTime and other little, you know, WhatsApp, you know, visuals, all the rest of it. Done all that, but it's not the same, mate. I have missed giving my mum and dad a hug, right? So I'm just wanting to get out of 2020, right, and being able to get into 2021. They've had their vaccine, other people have had their vaccines, it's safer, I can get out of tier 3, which is what Leicestershire's now in, and I can go and see them and I can give them a hug. That's what I'm looking forward to, Pete. So irrespective of what the portfolio does, that's not my priority. It hasn't been for a long time, and I just want to be able to be with my friends. I mean, I was putting a tweet out the other night, and it's what's, you know, I was talking about, you know, Captain Jack Sparrow, Pete. This noise and distraction is driving me to drink, mate. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry, but Johnny Depp, it just brings back that Sauvage advert, which I always think is sausage. Is it, yes, he's like burying something. I think, oh my God, what's he burying?
Oh dear.
And it's just, what is it, Dior? What are Dior doing? Why are they still with him? I just think it's mental. It shocks me. It really does.
He's got a huge global following, mate. For his warts and all, he's got a big following, mate. It's a bit like, what's it, the chap out of the Stones, you know what I mean? He's had all kinds of stuff going on, the original character that he portrayed Jack Sparrow on, you know?
It's like Dior sticking their V's up, isn't it? It's like, do you know what I mean? And the fact he's got him digging something in the desert, like he's burying something. I just think, oh my God, this is so bad. I cannot believe they're getting away with it.
You've just taken a lot... You've just taken us off on the right tangent there, Pete. But anyway,
we've already
thrown in Johnny Depp, alcohol, and all manner and poetry, which is all new for us on this podcast, folks. So thank you for bearing with us.
Hey, mate, we got a big surprise later in the podcast.
Yes, we've got a big surprise. Halfway through, we're going to announce a little surprise for you all. So we'll get to that in a little while, Pete. But you were talking about the markets, Pete, and I think what's happened, Pete, is that we've had the recovery, which has been juiced up a little bit by all the different COVID news that we've had, and the vaccines, and the news that I saw, I think it was earlier today I saw it. It was announced by the Gov, saying that the first dose, first dose of the Pfizer BioNTech group COVID-19 vaccine, the first week of vaccination program has been going through the UK. And remarkable, because we don't seem to be getting anything right at the moment, but we're doing this right at the moment, but it would appear, yeah, more than 137,000 people in the UK have received the first dose of that vaccine in the first week of the vaccination program. Got a long way to go, but 137,000 the first week is pretty good going, I think.
Yeah, I think with all the cold chain and the complications of the temperature and the logistics, I think that's probably a reasonable start. The other thing I heard, which is related to that, and I heard it just before we did the podcast. Do you know, it's funny how often we go to do the podcast and it's like, we always do like a little test run and you go off to listen and make sure the test runs work so we got the volumes right and whatever. And anyway, before that, I have like the news on or whatever on the TV, and I nearly always pick something up just before the podcast that's actually quite relevant. And the thing I heard just now was that Chris Whitty, well, he's not very funny, but he's called Chris Whitty, he reckons that possibly by the end of 2020, which I think is like really pushing it, but certainly very early in 2021, that AstraZeneca, much more usable, user-friendly vaccine, was it fridge temperature and whatever?
And cheaper. And
will be approved by the British people, the UK authorities, whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they can get that one cracking, that'd be really good news. Because they got like 30 million, is it 30 million doses or so they've got? Loads.
They're going to stockpile it, Pete. Yeah.
So that's good news,
Yeah. I mean, and also I got a bit of a heads up. I hadn't seen this news, but I got a heads up this morning from somebody I was speaking to on Twitter. And they were saying there's clinical trials begin for the Valneva vaccine. So that's a clinical trial started in the UK for a coronavirus being manufactured in West Lothian by a French company, Pete. So the Scottish government have pre-ordered 60 million doses of that particular one if and when it goes and is successful.
Yeah, I think I heard that. Yeah, I think I heard a similar thing. So what you're saying is basically there's going to be vaccines everywhere. You won't be able to open your front door without hitting a jar of vaccine before long.
Yeah, so that's a French firm that currently employs about 100 people in the Livingston site in Scotland. And for people that want to research that company, that is listed on the Vienna Stock Exchange and the Euronext. And that's gone up quite a lot. So that's VLA on the Euronext. So that's something to investigate for people if they're interested in investing or researching that particular stock. Pete and I don't own that. I haven't bought it. I haven't got any intentions of buying it, but that's another one to keep an eye on.
So what was it called? Valnext?
Valneva. V-A-L-N-E-V-A.
Okay. Now, I'm just scribbling it down on a bit of paper. We always make like a list of what we're talking about. But sorry if this is particularly an apology to my friend Pat, because he hates all the rustling and stuff on the, because it's always me fidgeting and stuff. But on the sofa, it's really difficult for me not to make like loads of noise. And you'll hear my cup of tea going up and down on the desk and, whatever. Sorry, Pat.
Going back to the year that we've had, though, Pete, there's another. I'm feeling quite poetic and sort of melancholy sort of mood. So I'm going to throw this one in there as well. What's happened regarding the year, Pete? This little quote encapsulates it, right?
Is this Pamers? Yeah,
with no, it's not Pamers, mate. Let's throw this one out there again. And essentially, this is what's happened in the year, because lots of things have happened regarding the vaccine, Brexit, all kinds of noise, and the COVID and all the rest of it, and people being restricted in movements and all the rest of it. And this encapsulates the year that we've had, right? This is about adjusting and being open to change, Pete. Yeah. We cannot direct the wind, but we can adjust the sails.
That's totally, I mean, irrespective of anything else, but that is totally to do with managing the portfolio.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it is really saying, in portfolio terms, it's really saying control what you can control. Because the stuff that you can't control, the uncontrollable, at the end of the day, like Brexit, right? You can fret all day about Brexit and whether it's a good idea, whether it's a bad idea, blah, 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 blah. But the reality is, it's absolutely naff all you can do about it. So there's no point worrying about it, It'll be what it'll be. You just make sure your portfolio is appropriately positioned so that if it's problematic, you're okay. If it's good, you're okay.
I mean, Pete, it's also, I mean, for me, it's more about life in general as well. You know,
well, yeah, no, there was that. Things thrown at us.
With regards to the portfolio.
Becoming like Poetry Corner.
With regards to the portfolio, Pete, it's about, I think, having a certain level of diversity. You talk about the WD-40 and having X amount of stocks. Some people have got small number of stocks and it's quite concentrated. When things are going well, have we spoken about this before? If you've got a concentrated portfolio and you know, 6 out of 10 of those stocks are doing really well, your portfolio is juiced. It's doing brilliantly well. If the markets, like it happened in March and April, turns and 6 out of 10 of those are down 10, 15, 20% or 30%, you know, then your portfolio is absolutely smashed to smithereens. So sometimes it's better to have a diversified portfolio of a number of stocks. You know, so it pluses and minuses, Pete, and it's about sometimes adjusting, you know, to the conditions.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is having what you're comfortable with. Yeah. I mean, just for me personally, I talked about this on the Mellow thing that I did on Monday, where, you know, because of my health situation, I can't be a short-term trader. I can't be on this stuff all the time. So I have to take a sort of 3-5 year view. And I just feel more comfortable holding a lot more positions and lowering my overall risk because of that. And then I use things like hedging and whatever just to take the risk down even more. I heard something today that, man, I'm horrified by it. Well, I just can't get over this. I was reading an old Investor's Chronicle because I'm always like years behind on them. And I'm terrible. But actually, I think that actually works quite well, because quite often when you read about a stock, it's often just had news or whatever, and the Investor's Chronicle is updating on the results. So quite often it's already jumped up. But when you read it a couple of months down the line, basically because you're slow, some of that price has actually come out, you know, and it's sort of got a bit better. Anyway, sorry, the point was, I couldn't believe it. I was reading about that LF Blue Whale investment fund thing, unit trust, yeah?
Yeah.
Blue Whale, I mean, it's got a really good reputation and whatever. But I was astonished. It's got 50%, pretty much, maybe it's slightly less, like 45, or I can't remember what the number was. It was about 50% in one stock, in Adobe, ABDE, the US, company.
Yeah, Adobe, yeah. Are you sure it's 50%, Pete?
That's mental. It was absolutely insane number. I was like, what on earth is that all about? They have 25 holdings, and that one had like a ridiculous amount in it. And, you know, that's worked well for them, because Adobe's been a really good stock. And I know Adobe really well, because one of my bestest friends in the world, she actually works for them. And we talk about it a lot because she has share options and whatever. And I think Adobe's a brilliant company, but I just think the immense risk of having pretty much half your portfolio in one stock, I just can't get my head around it.
Pete,
especially for a fund.
I can't say much, mate, because, you know, that pretty much
describes
my portfolio regarding the weighting towards AstraZeneca, which has worked for the past, you know, 26 years, but, you know, so I don't know.
Bear in mind, you get a nice dividend as well. You don't get dividends from Adobe. And bear in mind, AstraZeneca's not, well, for most of the time you've held it, it's never been on a racy rating.
No.
So, I would say it's about 5 or something.
Yeah, it's on a pretty racy racing at the minute, mate, unfortunately. I think, Pete, this, you know, that we've once again come across here now, and we're in the AstraZeneca sort of field. And, you know, as everyone should know by now, it's now plunged itself into the arena of pursuing a mega merger with an American pharmaceutical immunology company called Axion Pharmaceuticals. And it's going at that particular company for $39 billion, which essentially is £29 billion cash and shares option. Sort of deal. Personally, folks, I have never been a fan of mega mergers. The vast majority of them don't work. I'm hoping that this one accelerates the revenues for AstraZeneca going forward over the next couple of years. It's meant to work out, but I prefer a mega merger when the company is coming to buy my big company, like happened previously with SAB, Miller. But I'd prefer small, you know, multi-billion, you know, two, three, four, five billion sort of mergers. But AstraZeneca are going like this in one foul swoop. It means that essentially, if once this deal's done, they're off the radar. Then I don't see any other company being able to buy them. So that's them carrying on, growing, generating revenue, and then being at the top table in the top three companies in the world of that sort of size. So I'm hoping it works out. Obviously, the share price has come off a lot because this deal has people, you know, worried about it, given the uncertainties around the world. But rare diseases is where is the space that this Alexion company is in. So I'm hoping it works out. So we will see what happens. But on that note, my view is that the other companies that are in the pharmaceutical and biotech space, I think this is going to accelerate other mergers and other mega mergers. So on that note, I've been having a quick look at companies in that space. I own Vectura. I own ICMA, but I don't own GSK, and GSK is lowly rated.
I've got GSK myself, yeah.
Okay, so do you...
What's the code on that? VEC, is it?
Vectura is VEC, yeah. So, yep.
So... No one named.
So GSK is on a yield of 5.89%-ish, PE of 10. It's down 23% over the past 12 months. The price range is £12.91 to £18.46. And when I looked earlier, it might have changed before I looked at the screen before we started, since we started. It was at £13.64 ex-dividend. I think that's a really, really low price. And either they'll be involved in buying somebody, yeah, despite their levels of debt, or Pfizer might even come in and say, we want to buy you. So that's on my radar at the minute. I don't own the stock. I'm going to do some more research over the next couple of weeks on the stock. But I think we're going to see a wave of mega mergers, because the companies will not want to see AstraZeneca and Alexion as a combined entity sitting there with a market cap of 130, 140 billion going, oh, we're only a £50 billion company. We're only a £40 billion company. And them having a big chunk of the immunology space. So I suspect we're going to see some more mergers going forward in the in 2021 in the pharma and biotech space. So that's something I think people need to investigate. And as we've seen, Pete, you had Telit, didn't you?
Yeah, Telit.
News on that one. Yeah. Codemaster had some news and then had another bid. Yeah, Take Two.
Oh, there's loads
then,
of bids around.
Electronic Arts went for them as well. That was a big bump up, wasn't it?
It's interesting what you said, though, because we haven't had the mega mergers yet. And in a way, AstraZeneca, and there have been a couple of others maybe, particularly probably more in the States and stuff. But sort of over here, I don't feel like we've had any, you know, well, we haven't had hardly any. There was that AVV, Aveva, did that tie up with somebody else, didn't they?
The last big one, Pete, was that SAB Miller one that went on for ages.
Well, that was ages ago, wasn't it? Yeah.
Big one.
On sorry, before I talk about Glaxo, what was that other stock you named? You mentioned another stock.
Hikma Pharma. I've got
HIK. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Generic specialist.
Generics.
Yeah, they're pretty big in generics. That's interesting. GSK, the other thing about it is that it's going to be splitting soon, because it's going to split into its health, more boring kind of products like toothpaste and creams you rub on your bum and stuff. And it's going to split into a more racy side, which is more focused on development of medicines and whatever, and more like AstraZeneca. And so I think, with a massive dividend, low rating, and a share split, I mean, there's a lot to like about that stock.
There's a lot to like, but that's why I wanted to just share it. I didn't know you held it, but yeah, I think that's going to be an interesting one going forward. And I like companies that are looking at and considering share splits. You know, I hold Smiths for that reason, you know.
Yeah.
So they've been talking about split for a while though, Pete, and it hasn't come around yet. It's been delayed for a variety of different reasons. But
which is that? Is that Smith's Industries?
Smith Industries, yeah. SMIN. Yeah.
It's one, I've never ever really sort of looked at SMI and I sort of read about it. It's never pulled me in and got my attention enough.
It's a boring little product, mate, but it's got a lot of technology involved in there as well. Medical side. So that's why I just like the companies that no one talks about, Pete. As I always say, I prefer the stocks that no one talks about. I prefer people not buying into stocks that I own. Just let them just get on with their business rather than jumping in and out for 5% and 10% here, which is what traders do. You know, they tell you that they're going to be buying the stock from £1 to £15 and they get out at £1.20, you know?
They were out way before. Mate, is there any more you want to add to that?
No, I mean, for me, Pete, GSK, is another massive beltweather. You know, it's a blue chip of blue chip. It's been around forever, And whether or not they do the share split or not, I would urge people just research that stock a bit more because I think they've actually been taken by surprise by this move by AstraZeneca. And I'm not saying they're going to react immediately. They might carry on with this split, but I think something's going to happen, and there's going to be more stuff going on. Probably a lot of the US pharma companies are going to be looking at doing mega mergers as well. We are going to be involved somewhere. There's going to be more going on regarding pharma and biotech, and even if the smaller ones in the UK start to think, let's join up, and look at that.
Another thing that strikes me about GSK. Apparently, it's the largest vaccine maker. I think it's the largest vaccine maker in the world.
There you go.
Which is incredible. So that manufacturing facility itself the capability must be worth something, And the other thing about it that's really important is that obviously it had a change of leadership, and that is Emma Walmsley, isn't it? CEO now.
And you know what? Change of leadership, change of... Yeah. Possible change of strategy or catalyst for change,
It gets rid of a lot of the sort of internal politics and stuff because you have like a sort of existing management and they've got friendships and allies and enemies within the organization.
It's surprising you say that because that's exactly what's going on at Aviva, yeah?
I got Aviva.
New CEO's gone in there and she's gone bosh, 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 doing it, boom, 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 like that.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wow. They've been talking about doing this, that and the other for years. All of a sudden she's been in there for, I don't know how long, not very long, and she's gone bang, 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 bang. And there's a lot of stuff going on there, mate.
Oh, she's been in there 2 minutes. And what I find incredible about that is that many years ago, I don't know, 6 years ago, 8 years ago, you had Aviva, and it was this sprawling great lump. And then Mark Wilson came in as CEO, and he did a cracking job because he did loads of strategic reviews and basically said, we got too many businesses, it's not focused, it's all over the place. And basically, he just sold loads off and did whatever. But then he sort of got to a point where he sort of didn't take it any further. And it's like, I always thought he was really impressive, but he sort of hit a plateau of his capability almost. Or maybe it was the politics.
Maybe it was the politics, Pete, or maybe he got his hands tied because this lady, Amanda Blanc, has come in and just gone... Maybe that was part of the criteria of her getting the job. I need free reins to do the stuff that I think needs to be done.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny that he did so well at the start and then it sort of like tailed off. And then the new lady comes in, and all of a sudden it's like, bish, bash, bosh, we're doing this. And you think, why didn't Mark do that?
Yeah.
I find that really strange.
Yeah, so she's certainly, coming with that big brush, mate, and she's going at it.
Sweep it up, mate. Sweep it all up.
I mean, this goes back to the discussion I've seen so many times on Twitter, Pete, as to leadership and who makes the best leaders. And, this is going to upset a few people, but, as far as I can tell, and a lot of the global entities and politics as well, women tend to be far more strategic thinking and better leaders than a lot of men.
I certainly see that in companies. I see it a lot where when they get a lady, at the reins, they're so much better. And it's like one or two exceptions to that, but generally speaking, you look at companies that have had girls in charge, females in charge, ladies in charge. I always get the words wrong. I'm not very PC. that's actually my initial.
Everyone knows that already.
Where was I? You're PC as well, because you're Peter Conkers. anyway, Peter Conkers 3. What was I thinking? That's right. And you get blokes in charge, and maybe there's more the old ego thing and whatever. I saw one today, and I sort of dread naming names on a podcast. I hope he's not listening. But I noticed that the CEO of Saga, you know, that thing, that company with the, like, cruises and...
Yeah, the company that's always in a saga, yeah.
I hate them, because they always send me mail saying, you're an old git. You're an old git. Sign up for all our stuff. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to buy anything off you, because you've just insulted me. I'm only 18.
Oh, my gosh.
And, so I noticed that he was CEO. And the thing was, he was at Superdry, S-Dry. And I never think he did a good job there, do you know what I mean? And the new guy's come back, and he, Roger DeHaan or whatever his name is, the founder, isn't it, has returned to Saga. So it'd be interesting to see what happens to Ewan Sutherland, whether he goes the distance or goes a very long distance.
You know what, mate? Sometimes you have to go to a company where you're allowed to do the things you need to do, mate, you know, and to have that sort of, you know, you're not just there as the front person. You're there to actually do some strategic change and, you know, streamline the business if need be. And you've got carte blanche to get on with it, you know, and to be ruthless. Because, you know, a lot of these companies now, and COVID has accelerated it, Pete, weren't that digitally aware, you know, weren't that focused on having to be this organized in a sense of, you know, we've gotten away with doing stuff a certain way, mail shots here, mail shots there. But now you've got to be digital. You know, what happens to a company whose demographics are people over 50, 60, and 70? You know, if you've been mail-shotting them all the time, maybe you need to then apply tech a little bit more, because the 50-year-olds of the 1960s aren't the 50-year-olds of 2021, 2020. You with me? They're more tech-savvy now, aren't they? They're having to be.
So true, and I just think the whole thing of just targeting one demographic seems to be quite a limited strategy.
Yes, it is. They need to open a bit wider to that. And I think they are going down that route.
Superdry, S-Dry, that had some news today. I hold Superdry, and I've been through the whole pain on that one.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it's been a bit more perkier of late. The interesting thing there was that Julian Dunkerton, the founder, who came back as an interim CEO, has actually now been confirmed permanent CEO, and they've got a new lady in, Bonello. Is it the
Silvana Bonello?
And the thing that's interesting about that stands out there to me is that she used to be with Nike and some other company that I've never heard of. She had 18 years at Nike. Now, obviously, she understands clothing, fashion, that kind of business, yeah? Whereas you look at Ewan Sutherland, who's with Saga, one minute he's in a clothing company, next minute he's doing insurance and cruise ships. And I sort of think, you know, okay, to an extent, maybe people can move around to different industries, but I sort of think specialism and understanding, there's a lot to be said for it, you know?
I completely agree with you there. And people talk about how much research I do, Pete. Those are sort of little bit of details that can give you the edge in a sense of what is this about. You know, you've actually hit a nail there, Pete. You've looked at her experience there, yeah, and you've gone, phew, I like that. I like the addition of her there. Nike quality, 18 years, blah blah blah.
But it made sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely makes sense, yeah. Because you've got to look at what that stock has been absolutely ravaged, mate. You know, it's been shredded in the sense of what's happened to that stock. And now you've got to revitalize it. So you bring people on board that can actually do that, got the expertise, and know that chain, that supply chain inside out. You know, you don't want somebody coming from Carnival Cruises to come into Superdry.
Well, that's the thing. It just didn't make sense. And she's going to do like the chief operating officer role, which is, you know, a real important role in terms of the actual detailed function of the business sort of thing. And obviously she's going to understand a lot of that from her days at Nike. I mean, 18 years at Nike, she won't have been at the top of Nike for 18 years. She'll have come from lower down the organisation, I suspect.
Yeah.
And you know, and have a real good understanding of the various different levels and what really goes on. You know, it's like the last thing you want is one of these amazing, high-flying CEOs. Someone like, you know that bloke, we talked about it before, Stuart Rose, M&S?
Yeah. Mark Spencer's
amazing retailers, yeah? I bet that bloke hasn't stacked a shelf for 30 years. You know, he probably don't even know where the shop floor is. And it's sort of, it's almost like they bring in these, like, high-flying flagship leaders who really know nothing about what goes on in the business. I'm not necessarily dissing Stuart Rose, but his was pretty ropey. So, yeah. I've had my rant on that one, mate.
No worries. Pete, I wanted you to touch on the so I'll take over takeover. We were speaking about takeovers, mate, back in October, and we were saying keep an eye out. We were saying about in November, and there's been takeovers after takeovers, and I noticed there was a bit of news on telly as well. You own?
Yeah. It's sort of,
is it good or bad or indifferent, mate?
Well, it's sort of bad, really, I would say, because one of the bidders, DBay Advisors, has pulled out. So at the moment, there is only uBlox Holdings in the game. And they were talking about an all-share swap, an all-share takeover of Telit. And it's sort of priced at the theoretical price was £2.50. But trouble is, looking at it today, where is it? I'm on my wonderful ADVFN app. Where is it? Hang on. What are we talking about? What stock was it?
Tell it, mate. Yeah. Tell it. Your stock, tell it.
I'm losing the plot. Right. 192. So, yeah, 192 today. It had a big fall yesterday, and it sort of wiggled around today. But it's like the theoretical price is £2.50. It's like it's miles adrift.
But is any of that going to be cash, Pete, or is it all cash?
It's all shares, I think.
And well, there you go. You see, you always get that arbitrage between what the actual price they're claiming to want to buy it at, and the fact now you've not got another company fighting for it. You know, so yeah, so you're going to have that little bit of leeway. It might be an opportunity for people to get in there, but you know, it's just.
I can't. On my ADVFN app, as brilliant as it is, I can't find uBlox on it. It's pretty obvious that uBlox has fallen. If I could be bothered to look on SharePad, I'd see it on there.
Yeah.
But I would imagine that the uBlox share price has fallen, and because it's a ratio of uBlox shares to TCM shares when they do the swap, uBlox shares fall, so effectively hits the value of TCM. And we've had the same thing with GoCompare.
Yeah.
The theoretical takeover with shares and that was 129, and today, looking at it on the old app, there he is, GoCo. Oh, it's 129. Wow, I'm pleased about that. So it's recovered to 129. It's been taken over by Future, FUTR, and it's an interesting situation now because the theoretical price there was 129. So I could sort of say, okay. I mean, it fell initially. You sold, didn't you? You sold yours, didn't you? Is that right?
I sold mine when there was this insurance thing going on regarding the company, Pete.
Yeah.
So I got out. I was out before the actual merger started.
So it dropped quite a lot, and I was thinking, I'm not gonna. I thought, even though I don't particularly want Future shares, I sort of thought, well, you know, I'm not gonna sell at 115 or something stupid. So I thought I'd just wait, see what happens, see how it plays out. There might be another bid, who knows? Anyway, so I've just sort of bided my time, and now it's back to that 129 theoretical price. So, of course, my brain's thinking, well, should I take that, you know? Well, but then if Future keeps going up, and if markets keep going up, which
they're directly linked to the share price of Future. Essentially, aren't they? So if the market, if we have a Santa rally and Future goes up, you're going to get a few more pennies into the situation, into the mix. However, Pete, as you saw when people going, oh, I'm not quite sure about this, you know, even I said it, is this too big a chunk for them to buy, in the sense of buying GoCo? And, you know, people going, yay, 120, you know, oh, 114, oh, 110. You know, it's going to be that sort of situation. You know, so you either take a little bit off the table, or you ride it out right till the end, or you get out before, you know, you get your future shares. That's a big decision for people to make, really.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm perhaps thinking, well, what I'm thinking is over the next few days, because I think we're into proper Santa rally territory here. You know, that thing I talked about in the last podcast, where the market just tends to sort of steadily drift up on these remaining days of December and between Christmas and New Year, and a little bit into January usually. And because of that sort of slow melt up, I sort of think, you know, I don't really want to be selling much at the moment. If anything, I'm going to be buying, because I'm thinking of doing another FTSE 100 long tonight. We're recording this on Wednesday the 16th, by the way, 16th December. But what I'm thinking is, you know, maybe I'll slice a bit off GoCo or something, but I don't really want future shares. I mean, future's been a good stock for people, and there's a lot to like about it, but I don't know, it just doesn't grab me really. And there's other stocks that I've been looking at for ages that I would rather own. So I'm sort of thinking, if I can get my GoCo money out, move on, look at something else.
Yeah, I mean, Pete, it's a media company, and it's been in the mix, and it's come a long way, having, you know, started in someone's bedroom, you know, and they've done a lot of mergers. So, you know, this is another one that they've done to keep the revenue stream and the size of growth going forward. And it will be one of them they've got to, you know, get in embedded into the company to actually generate the revenues that they want going forward. So it's one of those really that people have to make their minds up. Do they want to be having those shares going forward, given it, you know, I was holding it at what, sub 90 pence, Pete, and sold a chunk of it at 15-16 quid.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of them, Pete. You just got to be very mindful of that. It's come a long way, and you know, who knows what the future holds. All we do know is that it's going to be a tech related sort of company. Era going forward. So, and that's what they're in. They're a digitally focused advertising and marketing company. So they should do very, very well, Pete. But, you know, you've got to look at what PE it's at, what price they're paying for this company, and make your own mind up as to what you do. Do you want to have future shares, or do you want to get out before, you know, your GoCo shares get taken?
Yes, it's one of those things where, you know, as much as I'm aware of future and I know a bit about it, I've never really looked that closely at it. And there's other companies I understand better. And I'm not overly keen on these acquisition strategies. I don't mind a company that grows well organically, then it does the odd acquisition and grows that way as well. I've got no problem with that. I think that's good. But it strikes me that future's a bit sort of acquisition. I don't really like that.
It's that build and grow strategy, Pete, and they've done that for years now, and it's worked so far. But
work until they don't.
Yeah, that exactly what I was going to say. But this is their biggest one by far, Pete.
Yeah.
You know, so they're going to have to make this work, and you know, you've got to get the cultural fit and all the rest of it. I mean, the other one I wanted to talk about, Pete, was the Codemaster one. A lot of people were in two minds because they had the bid, didn't they?
Yeah.
And the share price went up, and then it was Take Two offered cash and shares. They were the largest shareholders, weren't they, in Codemaster?
Take Two Interactive, wasn't
it? Yeah, Take Two Interactive offered cash and shares totaling, £4.85.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, I don't want EA shares. Sorry, Take Two shares, and not quite sure this is a good price. Some people bailed, you know, and got out of the shares. But then they got another offer this week, essentially, you know, was it £6.50 or something like that?
I don't know. I haven't been £4. I saw it was going on. All when I see that, my brain just thinks, fantastic, because that'll be a nice halo effect on my TM17.
Right, okay.
I'm so mercenary.
You are mercenary, mate. I mean, this is the beauty, Pete, sometimes, and I've said this before. when you get a bid, you want someone else to come in and bid. And if they start battling it out, that's great. I suspect, you know what, that Take-Two, being a shareholder in CDM, put that bid in there to try and juice it up to see if anyone else would come in. You know what I mean?
Could well be, couldn't it? Do you know, it's funny, right? I meant to mention this on Twitter, but I didn't. I was thinking the other day how much the game stocks have changed. Because you think back, say, 10 years, yeah? Gaming stocks were really quite problematic. They had a very patchy history of, you know, late product launches and, you know, cost overruns, and a lot of them really struggled, didn't they? And it was so competitive. But it's like with the proliferation of mobile devices, proliferation.
Yep, proliferation, Pete. Yeah.
I got that there. We'll call it P, right? With the P.
Yeah.
Of technology just getting faster, broadband, faster laptops, all this stuff. And it's like the gaming industry. And of course, the other thing that's changed is the demographics, because it used to be 13-year-old boys in their bedroom, didn't it? And now, I mean, you know, there's the whole age range. I read something the other day that the average age of a gamer is 38 or something.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And not just that, now girls, females, here's me being PC wrong again.
Ladies or women, Pete, yeah.
Ladies, women, all them lot, and the dames, they're all there. They make up 40%, I think, of the customers. Which, you know, 10 years ago, I'd be amazed if they made 4%. Pete,
some of the superstars out there on the gaming circuit are female, mate. Making millions per year from sponsorship deals and competitions and all the rest of it. And some of the best out there are females, mate.
The whole gaming industry is transformed, and it's almost like there is so much growth in the sector that even a pretty rubbish gaming company can probably do all right.
I mean, the thing is as well, though, Pete, that you've got to consider here is that a gaming company is only as good as the staff. A lot of the staff in gaming companies are freelancers, yeah? And they're utilised from all around the world to put these things together. And depending on who gets, you know, pushed to go to which company or company offers them the best deal and all right, they're moving around constantly, yeah? And the pressure on getting these games right. I think I saw something about another company that just put out a computer game, which is they've had to refund people. They've lost like £1 billion in the space of a week since launch. So you've got to get these things right. Otherwise, it can be very, very expensive. But you're absolutely spot on. The demographics have completely changed. People are spending more time playing games on the phone and doing this, that and the other. And it's about the fact that, you know, we've now got this supercomputer, which we're carrying around with us all the time, which is the size of our wallets unfolded. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's unreal. I mean,
so you don't have to wait to get home to do a game. You're actually playing it on the train. You're playing it, you know, if you're a passenger in the car, you know, blah, 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 blah. So this is the beauty of what's going on. But the fact that they keep coming to take them over before and take over. Yes, mate. It's a hot space. It's a hot space right now.
Hey, you touched on something. I'll just develop it slightly. You talked about the staff. From what I'm picking up, there's a massive shortage of game development skills. And
probably.
I'm talking the actual sort of like boring coders, the testers, the creative design side of it, the artistry, all that kind of stuff. And what a lot of these companies doing is they're doing takeovers so that they can get the studios to get the staff, because it's the only way they can get hold of staff.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely.
Shows what's going on, and I think we'll see a lot more mergers in that space. And I think, I mean, some of the ratings, I mean, I haven't looked at TM17's rating for a while, and it's probably ridiculous, like forward PE of 70 or something. But I just think the way the market is now, with the growth that's going to be there, with the takeover potential, I just think these things are going to probably do pretty well for a while.
I think there's going to be more mergers in that space, most definitely, in consolidation, Pete. Pete, yeah. we're 50 minutes in, and I want you to talk about our little surprise for people.
Hey, we haven't even started yet, have we?
Yeah, 50 minutes in. So folks, this is just a little idea that Pete and I had. We'd like to make it as interactive as varied as possible for our listeners, and we hope you're enjoying it. And again, we want to say absolutely thank you all so much for the fantastic feedback and support you've given us for TPI 36 and 37. That we've just been smashing records after records with the last two podcasts. So thank you.
We've had great response almost from day one. So thank you to everybody. Yeah. You've been so supportive, and you know. I mean, we're not experts on keeping in track of our numbers, but I think pretty much the last podcast we did, TPI, what was that, TPI 37?
Yeah.
I think that's our most successful ever in terms of listeners, subscribers, from like, you know, from when we first released it to today, it's by far eclipsed all the others.
So with that in mind, folks, we had a little idea. In a sense of us saying thank you to all of you, ladies and gents, wherever you are in the world.
You suffer this nonsense.
Yeah, you've
your tolerance is impressive, listener, I must say.
let me just get this out there, Pete. Come on. So
the idea.
Oh, dear. So the idea we've had, folks, is to enable one of you fantastic listeners, wherever you are in the world, to come on to the Twin Peaks Investing Show. Okay, so the idea is this, right? You use social media. We're on Twitter. You follow Pete at Weedy Dealer on Twitter. You follow at Conkers 3 on Twitter, and you do a retweet of Twin Peaks 38. Yeah. And all you do is tell us why you enjoy investing. And Pete and I will announce who the winner is during Twin Peaks 39. So we need you to reply to us on Twitter, yeah, by December the 29th. Retweet, follow Pete at Wheelie Dealer and follow me at Conkers 3 and just tell us why you enjoy investing. We'll pick a winner, and the prize is you lucky person who wins it is able to come onto our show, yeah, live, unscripted, and tell us and share a part of your journey of investing with us on the show. So that's our little, you know, Santa Christmas present to you all. Wherever you are in the world, you've got to be able to come on here, GMT 6:30. On the what will be for Twin Peaks number 40, which will be the middle of January. So we'll organize all that in the background. You come on the show for Twin Peaks 40. You speak for 10-15 minutes, whatever, about what you enjoy about investing.
However long till we all get bored, really.
Yeah, so we just thought we'd share that idea with you, ladies and gents. So retweet, follow us on Twitter, and then tell us what you enjoy about investing, and we'll pick a winner. We just thought that'd be a nice way to just give you guys and ladies a nice little Crimbo present for the new year.
And in your comment for why you like investing, can you please just copy my Twitter handle and Peter's Twitter handle? Yeah.
Absolutely.
The other thing is just to say, don't feel stressed about it. Don't think, oh my God, I can't do that. It's too difficult. You know, you're just going to come on with us.
We're not going to bite or anything.
We're more worried you're going to bite us.
It's just a bit of fun, bit of interactive fun.
It could be fun, so come and join us. And you know, the response that appeals to us the most will be the winner.
Yeah.
Excellent. No, mate, I tell you what, when you came up with that idea, Pete, I just thought it was awesome, mate. Awesome. Love it. And I'm sure, you know, we could do more stuff like that in the future, maybe, if we have enough time, if we all live long enough.
I mean, this is the beauty of it, Pete. What I love about it is the fact that we've got and had so many listeners from all over the place, right? And we had our good friend, he was absolutely jumping for joy because we mentioned the Ukraine the other day, you know, Robin Robinson.
Brilliant. He's building a new barn, mate. He's getting a new barn, isn't he? that just killed me, that dude, honestly. I loved it.
But this is it, Pete. We've got listeners in the Ukraine, in the US, in Ireland, in Spain, in Thailand, in Sweden, Germany, France, Australia, Hungary, Netherlands, Poland, Jersey, Portugal, Canada, United Emirates, Isle of Man, Finland, Turkey, New Zealand, Bahrain, Belgium, in Russia, Mauritius, South Africa, Norway, India, Switzerland, Egypt, Singapore, Japan, Kenya, Vietnam, Costa Rica, Indonesia, Cyprus, Italy, Saudi Arabia, Czech Republic, Brazil, Mexico, Bhutan, Austria, Luxembourg, Malta, Denmark, Guernsey, Lithuania, Azerbaijan. That's 50 countries that I can see a list of. And after that, it just goes to zero, goes to ones. So thank you all, wherever you are in the world. Enjoy your December break if you're having one. So that's where we are, Pete.
I'm blown away by that. That's fantastic. Hey, I'm aware that time's moving on, but I've got loads of time. I don't know about you, Pete, but I'm on the sofa, you know.
I know you are, Pete, but I'm going to try and keep this one within the confines, mate. So we've probably got, if we're going to be lenient, about another around 55 minutes. I'd give it another 5-10, no, about another 10 minutes, Pete.
All
yeah,
right.
Max.
That's cool. Well, I just wanted to talk quickly because I've been typically like me this year, but I've been more like me than ever in that I've almost done so little buying and selling of my shares this year. I've been so inactive, it's unbelievable. And then anyway, the other day I got a bit carried away and I top sliced a bit of MPAC simply because I had so much of it. It was getting ridiculous. It was like 12% of my portfolio, which, you know, if it was Blaxo or something, I wouldn't be quite so stressed. But 12% in what really is quite a small company in a turnaround situation. But I still think MPAC is excellent, and I'm very, very happy holding MPAC, and I'm up like 300% on it. But I just think I've got too much, so I'll probably slice some more off as we go into 2021. Anyway, I sliced a bit off, and what I've done is I've redeployed that. I've bought a starter position in Lok & Store LOK, which I really quite like the look of. And I bought a starter position in a really exciting one. And the reason it's exciting is because it reminds me of MPAC. It's almost identical situation to what MPAC was when I was buying it really heavily 1 or 2 years ago. And I was saying to people, this just looks so bonkers cheap. And the one I bought is BAR, Brand Architects. It's got a weird spelling, but... And if you go onto my website, you know, www.wheeliedealer.weebly.com, go to the trades page. I've written a big chunk about why I like it. And the essence is, you know, it's very much like MPAC. We've got new management. The directors have been buying. It's got cash of 18 million. And the market cap when I bought was about 25 million. So it's like, you know, you're getting the business for like hardly anything. It used to be Swallowfield, SWL. So again, very similar to MPAC, which was formerly Molins. So it's like a sort of good, successful company before that's fallen on hard times. The old management had gone, new management in. I really like the look of that. And I expect to be buying lots more of that over the coming, well, we'll see what happens. But I do expect to be buying that quite heavily going forward. I talked about Brand Architects a few podcasts ago, and I'm sure a few people sort of picked up on it then. But yeah, other than that, so I've been doing that. The other thing I've been doing is I've got a long on the FTSE 100 to run through the Santa rally. And I'm thinking, as I say, this is Wednesday, the 26th December. Is it 16th December? I'm thinking of putting another long on the foot, you know, just doubling it or something, probably tonight. I'll have a little think about it.
Pete, are you not worried that, you know, the Brexit noise that we're getting at the moment is sounding very, very positive? And once again, there's a possibility that, you know, it might go completely Pete Tong. you know, and we might hear some surprise from Gove or Boris, which completely just takes the air out of the balloon.
Yeah, that is a really good point. I mean, I've sort of undernard about this, and I just think that I've seen it so many times with a Santa rally, this sort of slow drift up around, you know, these Christmas Day and New Year. It seems to be such a sort of powerful force that it's almost like whatever else is happening, it just carries on anyway. So, and I think what I found interesting is that if you sort of think, well, if Brexit goes horribly wrong, there's no deal, then the pound will fall, yeah? And then you think, well, if the pound falls, that would be good for the FTSE 100. But there's a real problem with that, because what I've noticed for months, I mean, you can look on a chart, it's like been quite a while now, that actually the pound's been rising, but the FTSE 100 has risen with it. So that correlation has changed, and it's quite common for correlations to change. That's not an unusual thing. So I'm not going to go mad, you know, I'm not talking of an immensely huge position. But I'm just thinking of adding a bit more tonight.
Okie dokie.
And then as we go into next year, something I need to address is that my income portfolio has got a bit of cash in it, and I need to buy another stock for that, I think. So I need to put more thought and effort into that. I haven't really done much with it. I mean, to be honest, I could just be really lazy and just buy more Glaxo. It really is that simple almost. But I have been thinking about Song, you know, Hypnosis Song Fund. I really like that. I've got some of it. And I was thinking of buying that in my income portfolio.
Well, I mean, hopefully they've finished with all the buying now, Pete, but I suspect they haven't, you know, and all the different placings and fundraisers that they had. I think they're on record as being the most prolific UK company raising money this year or the last 12 months. So they've raised a lot of money. They've deployed it, and now they're paying, you know, they're getting the rewards with Mariah Carey going straight to number one for the first time with that record.
Yeah. So
that was a big payoff straight away for them buying that. They only bought it. They only bought that catalogue this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, bought in September, I think.
That was a quick one, isn't it? I wonder why it was getting promoted so heavily everywhere, that song.
Well, they had another one. They had Prisoner, the one with Miley Cyrus and Dua Lipa. Now, a lot of people might not realise this, but Dua Lipa, I read somewhere that she's the biggest selling UK artist last year or this year or something, which, you know, she's worth like 80 million. She's only been on the scene 2 minutes, which I just find that astonishing.
Someone got her catalogue as well then, Pete?
Yeah, they own Prisoner.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Because like with Dua Lipa, I don't think Dua Lipa writes much herself. I think she's more a singer of other people's songs because, you know, there's all these sort of professional songwriters and stuff.
Can I just say, Pete, you've gone full circle here now.
No.
You are now a partisan young teenager talking about Dua Lipa, mate. Hey, I think that's just your rock and roll, mate.
Mate, I'm a massive fan of Meghan Trainor. You know, it's like, I'll tell you what, you say that. I sent it out on Twitter. Yes, I absolutely love that McDonald's advert song, Forever Young.
Right, okay, yeah.
Just think that is, I just love that song. I could listen to that all day long, especially when there's always terrible Christmas songs being played all the time. It's driving me absolutely up the wall.
Brilliant. Pete, talking about Christmas and Christmas songs and people being happy, I think I'd like to wrap up in a few minutes, but I wanted to touch on...
Mate, I need to do an advert as well.
You can do the advert now and I'll come back to this.
Wheelie Dealer advert.
Go for it.
Right. On my website, you've got Wheelie's Bookshop. I gave the address. Well, it's www.wheeliedealer.wheelie. Wheelie's Bookshop. There's loads of books in there. If you click on it, buy a book. Comes from Amazon. They send it through to you. I get a little kickback. We need to keep the beer fun going. Thank you. Fantastic. For Christmas, like, you know, you can treat yourself for Christmas. Or buy your mates a nice, lovely book.
Do you want to tell them about the other way that you get a drink as well, Pete, via SharePad?
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, yeah, people sign up for SharePad, then I'll get a drink for that as well. But, you know, it's all on my website. Have a look on the website.
Okie dokie. Before I go into the bit that I was going to tell you about, I just wanted to give you, ladies and gents, a bit of a heads up. There's an archive on my website, which is called the Conker's Corner Podcast.
Oh, we're having a Conker's advert.
No. This is not the advert. Oh, that's cool, mate. There's about 50 odd interviews on there with one billionaire, 10, maybe 12 ISA millionaires, lots of shrewd people, including an interview with Wheelie, of course, on there. But one of the chaps I've interviewed...
Yeah, shrewd people, that's Wheelie.
Wheelie dealer, and which I've got a really good relationship with, and he's a really, really nice guy. I'm going to be interviewing him next Monday. I'm putting it out over Christmas. I'm going to be interviewing the significant person in investing that I have got the utmost respect for. He's called Phil Oakley. I'm going to be interviewing him on Monday the 21st. So look out on my website and on Twitter and across social media for an interview I'll be putting out. Phil and I are going to be talking about a variety of different things. So if you know him from Investors Chronicle, you know of a high quality gentleman that he is. So I'll be talking about a few things and hopefully put that out via the Conker's Corner podcast.
On Twitter, he's at Phil J. Oakley, isn't he?
That's correct, yeah.
Good guy, Phil.
Yeah. So the stock I wanted to talk about, Pete, was we spoke about it on Twin Pete's 34, was the Royal Mail. Yeah, RMG.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
And that stock, when we spoke about it, was nearer to £2.40 when we spoke about it back in October. And it's currently at multi-year highs? Is it 349 as we speak? Yeah.
Brilliant, huh?
So it's done exceptionally well. And the reason I'm talking about that, I say multi-year highs, is that, yeah, it's a one-year high. I do apologise. The reason I'm talking about that is because I thought it was quite... I just thought, finally, you know, shows how far a company can go when they start to change things up. But Royal Mail, this is a bit of news, folks, a bit of fun news. Royal Mail became and made the first UK drone package delivery with parcel drop-off at remote Scottish lighthouse. It used a drone to deliver a parcel to a lighthouse. So that just goes to show what's possible when you want to go out there. Made a landmark delivery on the Isle of Mull in Scotland.
Wow.
Yeah, the second largest island in the Inner Hebrides.
Wow.
Yeah. So there you go. Technology, technology, technology.
The chart on RMG, I was just looking at, I think I mentioned this on Twitter the other day. The chart is really interesting because if you look at a three-year chart, which is what I'm looking at on my phone, we're sort of at the level that was a peak, which is going to be resistance, from about 2 years ago, yeah? But, so that's say around 360, 370, yeah? But just before that, it obviously had like a really nasty profit warning because it had fallen from, hang on, blimey. Yeah, just under 500. So basically from... sort of 370 to 500, it just fell like it fell off a stone. It was just boom, straight down, yeah. And was that a share split or something? Or
no, mate, it was just really, really bad news. Everything was going against it.
There's
more strikes, more problems. Everything was going wrong. You know, it hit £1.24p at its low this year.
I've wiped my brain of the pain. Do you know what I mean? So anyway, my point is right that if it can break out above about, it probably looked like. I'm looking on my phone, so you need to look at salespeople. But it's about 370. Thing is, there's no resistance then up until, well, probably 100 points on top. So I reckon it could close that 100 points pretty damn quick.
Yeah, you've got 370, and then the next resistance at 477p.
There you go, 100 points.
Brilliant. Now, people on Twitter now are talking, a lot of people talking about bowls. So on the chart, it looks like it's a bowl formation, and that will be part of a bowl. Yeah, if it gets up to 477 from 124, that will create a bowl.
Fantastic. That is well sweet. Mate, I need to mention one quickly because I promised somebody I would.
I promised somebody that we wouldn't go into 1 hour and 15 minutes, Pete. So make it very quick, mate.
Right, I'm going to say, okay, what it is, AA, yeah? The Automobile Association is in a bid situation. It's been, the bid is, I can't remember what numbers are, but it's like, I don't know, 38 pence or something. It's hardly anything. But basically, there's a company called Albert Bridge Capital that value it at 65 pence. They reckon the offer is way too low for AA and that shareholders of AA should vote against the takeover in early January when it goes to a general meeting.
So why aren't they buying? Why aren't Albert Ridge, whatever they're called, buying it themselves, Pete?
Well, I just think they're like a little small, you know, sort of.
Yeah, so they've got a stake and they want more, basically, is what they're saying.
They've got a stake in it. I mean, they just think it's... I think they're probably right. They were saying that, you know, in the current debt market, how it is, they could easily have refinanced that, you know, themselves or whatever. And they just think it's crazy doing this deal.
Well, if that's if that is the case, then, you know, there'll be a bit more shareholders activism and say no to the deal.
Yeah, sorry, I used the wrong word there, but we don't give advice. We're just talking about it. But the point is that it just makes sense. It's like, you know, why vote for it when if you can vote against it, the chances are a higher bid is going to come in. So anyway, we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm such a small shareholder and it's sort of irrelevant what I do. But if there's anyone out there listening who's big and punchy, then yeah, vote against it.
I mean, this is the thing. We've seen a lot of deals coming out and we've seen the situation with Airbnb, Pete, IPOing and now being worth $100 billion plus. You know, there's a lot of money out there that people want you to throw at markets. You know, so it's very interesting that was IPO'd at $68 and went up to $165 on the first day of IPO. There's a lot of change left on the table. So there's a lot of money sloshing around that's available and ready to be put to work. And as I said at the beginning of this this podcast, I suspect 2021 is not only going to be a year of mega mergers, but a lot of takeovers are going to happen. And, you know, the UK, unfortunately, is lowly valued. So I suspect we're going to see a lot of predators coming and buying stuff up, you know, once this uncertainty about Brexit is over with and 2021 sort of like, you know, calms itself down, if that's possible, and the vaccines and all the rest of it are put to work and people get back to some level of normality. I think we're going to see a lot of mergers, mate.
I think, you know, along that line, I mean, there's a lot of catch up to do. I think
a lot of catch up. Yeah, because we're
nearly all the global indexes, America, Japan, Germany, they're all time highs.
Yeah, and we're not. We're far away from that.
So, yeah.
Okay, Pete, we're going to call it there, are we?
Yeah, I think so. Let me just have a quick look at my script. Yeah, right. Mate, there's so many. Well, in the next one, there's so many.
We've got 2021 to put all this in, Pete.
In TPI 39, there's so many things we need to talk about.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, I mean, that's what we've got the end of the year one for as well, Pete. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've covered everything that.
Okie dokie.
I wanted to mention. Yeah, yeah, it's all good.
Okay. So, folks, Pete and I, once again, want to thank you ever so much for your continued support and feedback. Please, please, please subscribe, whichever podcast platform you use, wherever you are in the world, just subscribe to the Twin Pete /Conker's Corner platforms that you've got this podcast on. We're hoping in 2021 to get ourselves onto Amazon. We're working on that as we speak, so hopefully we'll get that done. But whatever you're doing in December, stay safe. As we've always said, please, please, please look out for your friends, your neighbours, and show some goodness, show some kindness, and remember, you know, we are blessed to still be here because there's so many people that are not. There are a lot of people in a lot of pain, so if you can show a bit of kindness, please do so. I tend to spend a lot of my time around Christmas, wimbling around the streets, doing charitable stuff. I don't talk about it, that's just what I do. But if you can do anything about that this year and go into your communities and do something, you know, there are lots and lots of people, soldiers, you know, people that were in the armed forces, etc., that are on the streets this Christmas. So please go and do what you can to help and support the homeless and other people in difficulty. Okay? Wishing you a fantastic Christmas break, December break, whatever you call it, wherever you live in the world. Please take care. Stay safe. We'll look forward to seeing you at the end of the month. And we'll look forward to seeing you in 2021. Take care. God bless.
Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye, all.
This Twin Pete's Investing Podcast was brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.